Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
All right, it's my privilege to introduce to you Benny Gentile. He is Director of Programming at Camp Patmos. You might be wondering, why is he speaking today? Why is he preaching today? And part of that is Pastor Aaron, you're like, oh, Pastor Aaron's not preaching again. He actually is. He's at another church, Hillside Baptist Church. One of his good friends, Kevin Bath, is the church is celebrating 25 years. And so usually when that happens around that time, they have different speakers come in, different people come in that are close to them. And so that Pastor Aaron is the main preacher at that church today. So that's where they're at. And so we're excited that they get to do that as well today. But we are happy to have Benny here filling in. And I'll let him introduce more of himself. And yes, it is Children's Church, so if you have not been dismissed, you can do that. But yeah, please welcome Benny for me.
All right, well, good morning, church. Like Pastor David said, my name is Benny Gentile. I currently live at Skyview Ranch, but I have the opportunity of serving as the director of programming up at Camp Patmos. If you're not familiar, Camp Patmos is up on Kelly's Island, so I get the great opportunity of living on an island, which is really fun. Takes a little bit of time to get to Walmart, about an hour and 15 minutes to get to Walmart, and you got to take a boat. So three modes of transportation just to get to Walmart. But it is an awesome opportunity to be able to serve there. I also serve at Skyview Ranch, and it is good to be here at West Hill. I grew up not too far from here, up in Streetsboro, if you're familiar. One of my grandmother's good friends is you call her Maggie. I call her Mrs. Stevens. Yes, a lot of good friends here at West Hill. I do not know all of you. I happen to be West Hill's own chair stacker extraordinaire, Zane Keel's roommate. So he gave himself that name. I did not come up with that. But I said, hey, I'm going to talk about you tomorrow. What are you known as at West Hill? And he said, chair stacker extraordinaire. So we have that. But a lot of good friends here, so it's a pleasure to be here. If you guys have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to Colossians 3. We're going to be in Colossians 3, the letter to the church in Colossae. And this sermon title is Out with the Old, In with the New. We are not going to waste any time with the old stuff, but rather look at Scripture and what the Lord has to say. So in Colossians 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 17. I'll give you guys a chance to get there. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. And if you would read with me, if you guys want to go, yep, right there. It's on the screen if you don't have a Bible. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are not that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creation, its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Would you pray with me? Father, we humble ourselves as we go before your scripture. We pray that we would open ourselves up and that we would say, Lord, I need you. That we would take the words that you've written and that we would not just hear it here on Sunday morning, that we would apply it in our life and it would change us from the inside out. Father, we praise your name and we thank you for your gospel on the cross. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Alrighty, to jump into Colossians, I know that's a really thick passage. There's 17 verses, but there's so much packed into it. I love the book of Colossians. I know some of you guys, some of the teens attended Skyview and Camp Patmos over the summer, and this is what we talked about over the summer. So congratulations, you're getting it again. There is so much in the book of Colossians. It's one of my favorite books because there is so much application and there is so much rich theology in this letter. Paul is writing this letter to the people in Colossae, in the church, because there is a brother named Epaphras who is from Colossae, who is going. He went to Paul, who is currently in prison. And he's telling Paul about all these things that are happening in the church of Colossae. The problem is, Epaphras, he did have good things to say. If we look in, if we were to look in chapter 1, we would see a lot of the good things that he has to say. But unfortunately, if you've read the Pauline epistles, Paul typically doesn't write because everything is going swell. Typically, there is something wrong. And that is why Paul is writing. Paul is writing because Epaphras is telling of these false doctrines that are getting into the church and kind of intermingling with Christian doctrine, and it is resulting in false teaching, false doctrine. So Paul thinks it is appropriate to write a letter to warn the church and correct the church and teach the church. These Eastern pagan philosophies are mixing in, and so that's what we find in the second half of chapter 1, the preeminence of Christ. It's got to be one of my favorite parts of Colossians, just super rich, talking about who Christ is. So Paul talks about who Christ is, and then he talks about his ministry to the church, and then finally in chapter 2, we get to Paul talking about Christ and how Christ affects us. So we've talked about in chapter 1 who Christ is. Chapter 2 is how Christ affects us. And then finally, that is in chapter 2, we're in chapter 3, which is where we'll be today. And that, Paul is going to talk about how that affects us, right? What we're supposed to do because of this. That is kind of a little bit of a historical context of what Paul was writing in Colossians. But let's jump in to the meat and potatoes of Colossians in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to start super simple. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of Christ, right hand of God. I want to stop here. Verse 1, there's a conditional statement. English class here for you guys. A conditional statement. If then you have been raised with Christ. He means to communicate that the following that we're going to talk about only applies if you have been raised with Christ. Paul puts that in verse 1. right? He wants to make it very clear. They already have read the first half of the letter here. And I want to make this very clear before I go on to the rest of the sermon, that we have to be raised with Christ. The following that we're going to talk about only applies to those who have been raised with Christ. Well, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? It is the sheer fact of the gospel that Christ came down to earth, was fully God, fully man, sacrificed, lived a perfect life on earth, came to sacrifice himself, to die for our sins, died, was buried, and rose again. And the implications of that is that if we put our faith in Christ, our saving faith in Christ, that we will be raised, and we are raised with Christ. I want to make that very clear here. We cannot move on to what the rest of this says if you have not understood that and you do not believe that. So, typically this comes at the end of the sermon, but I want to make a charge to you guys today. If you do not know Christ, if you have not been raised with Christ, if you have not been justified, that is something to do today. Because if you do not believe in that, all the other words and all the other verses that I'm going to talk about is going to be wasted. Because this is the foundation of our faith. This is the foundation of what Paul is saying in the future here. So, if you've been raised with Christ, if you have saving faith in Christ, the second part of the verse, it says, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. As Christians, Paul is telling us to seek the things that are above, or to shift our focus on what is in heaven and what comes from God. If we've been raised with Christ, we are no longer looking at earthly things. Our focus has changed. This is not a plea that Paul's saying, oh, you need to wish that you were in heaven. Like, you know, sometimes we can be like, oh, I cannot wait until I'm reunited with Christ. And we look forward to that day. But that is not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that we ought to seek him who is in heaven. We ought to seek Christ. We want to be with Christ one day, but there's work to be done here on earth. The second half of that says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on this earth. We are not looking for the things of this world, but rather are trying to set our focus permanently on the things that are above. We're trying to set our focus on Christ, who is reigning in heaven. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. This is what Paul's trying to communicate. That if we've been raised with Christ, we are above earthly things. We ought not to look to earthly things. He continues on and says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is super important. The language that Paul uses is super important talking to the people in Colossae. It's not that, oh, we've been raised with Christ, we're going to continue living the way we always do. We have died. Ourselves is no longer. Your life is hidden with Christ. Our earthly ambitions are completely gone. This other part of this section, Paul says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? When I first read this, I was kind of like, hidden? What in the world does that mean? Your life and your ambitions are hidden together or tied with Christ. It is important that as Christians, as believers, we don't have Benny Gentile's life ambitions and we have God's ambitions for Benny Gentile. Right? It is one and the same. I don't have my own ambitions. I just have his. Your life and our ambitions are hidden together, tied together with Christ. you have laid to rest your own desires for Christ. One of my favorite verses, another letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Understanding that, was Paul physically crucified with Christ? No. But what is he is acknowledging that because Christ was crucified on the cross and he puts his saving faith in Christ, his earthly self has been crucified and it is gone. It died at the cross. He put it off. When Christ died, and we acknowledge that, and we put our saving faith in Christ, we ought to reject our earthly selves. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This whole section, I want to talk about it a little bit here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ is your life. I hope that you guys showed up today, not just to drink some coffee and some orange juice and get a bagel or a Danish, talk with friends, have a great fellowship time, you know, go to Trunk or Treat, and then leave. Because that is not why this church exists. This church exists for Christ, strictly because of Christ. If it was not for Christ, we would not be here. We could take that all the way back to creation. We could take that to our own lives. Christ is our lives, and there is no more self. We talk about the Holy Spirit coming after we have been justified and transformed. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we are a new creation. This verse here, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There's a few implications on this verse here. There's a security that your life is hidden with Christ. He uses the language hidden, intertwined, right? So Christ will return, and we look forward to that day. And this is, Paul is talking about a guarantee that not just that we are tied with Christ, right? Like this is some obligation, but rather there's things that if our lives are tied with Christ, there's things we have to look forward to. We know that when Christ is going to return, we're going to be with him. We're going to return. When Christ returns, we will be with him. That's what it says. There's security that your life is hidden with Christ, and because of that, Christ's second coming, we have a security that we will be with him. If you look on here, I just want to kind of jump back for a second. You can go back to the back last slide. This one. If then you've been raised with Christ, there's a bunch of verbs here, all right? You didn't know this was going to be English class. So if you're taking notes, write this down. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear. There's a lot of verbs here. When you have been raised, right? We've been raised with Christ. We ought to seek and set our minds, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You will also appear. I also want to point this out. I don't have this highlighted. But if you notice if you've taken any biblical studies class or sat in a Sunday school, you know that repetition when Paul is writing is probably something that Paul wants you to know, right? When he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, right? We ought to rejoice. If you look here, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." Highlight above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above. You know, if my mom looked at me and said, Benny, clean your room. And then she said, don't forget to clean your room. I probably should clean my room, right? She said it twice. It's important. This is what Paul's saying. Above, hey, stop looking at ground level. Look up. Look at Christ. Put your focus on Christ. If you guys want to go to the next slide here, I have a diagram. This is a Baptist church, so we love our three-point sermons and diagrams. if you look here, we have died, right? If we have been justified in Christ through faith, we have died to ourselves. Therefore, we have been raised in Christ. We have not raised ourselves, rather Christ has raised us through his sacrifice on the cross. And that is already done. That's what Paul is saying. He talked about that in past in chapter 2. And so that is already done. That should be already done. I already made a plea for that, that you ought to know Christ before we even talk about the rest of this. So therefore, if we have died and been raised with Christ, therefore we ought to do the commands. What are the commands? The commands are to seek and set our eyes on things that are above. These are commands. And when that happens, while that is happening, eventually we will appear in glory. I want to be careful to say that we will appear in glory. I should have drawn an arrow over from the first part to the last part. It is not because we seek and set our eyes above or the things that we do that we will appear in glory. It is because of the already done part, the died and raised in Christ. But that's a completely different sermon, and I'm not going to preach on that today. So, we ought to seek and set our eyes on things that are above. Look with me in Colossians 3, verse 5. We're going to look at 5 through 11. How do we seek and set our eyes above? Don't worry. We don't have to solve a jigsaw puzzle to figure this out. Paul tells us clearly. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. We already talk about how we have died and been raised with Christ, but we need to put to death our actions. Not just ourself, but what comes along with that is our actions. As we seek and set our minds, we must put to death our old selves. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. We must be careful that the gospel is not a transactional occurrence. It's not that I'm sitting in VBS here in the front row and, you know, somebody gives the gospel presentation and I said, yes, Lord, dedicate my life and it's okay. I got my ticket to heaven. I'm good to go, right? And then when Christ returns, I've got my ticket. I'm good. No, there's a transformation. When we've been justified, we've been transformed through the gospel in Christ. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, the old has gone away, and behold, the new has come. It's not a ticket to heaven. It's a lifestyle change. It is a complete changeover of the person. So Paul talks about putting to death. What do we put to death? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Paul is warning that the wrath of God is coming. This is why we don't just get a ticket to heaven and say, nope, it's okay, I'm good. The wrath of God is coming. If you're familiar with Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about the parable of the 10 virgins being ready for when Jesus comes back. The wrath of God is coming. We've already talked about Christ returning, but when Christ returns, the wrath of God is here. Which side of it are you going to be on? But now you must put them away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Paul lists more of what we ought to put to death. I think verse 9 is super important. If we read verse 9 with me together. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So Paul has already identified, hey, we need to put to death. He's hammered that home. We need to put to death our old selves. We should not keep living in the way, living in the sin, but rather we need to put it to death. And we need to live as a new creation. As a new creation that Christ has created in us. He also, Paul is not naive. He understands what it's like to be human. He is fully human. And if you know the story of Paul in Acts, you know that Paul has sinned a lot prior to his conversion. And even as he continues to sin, even as he writes this letter. And he understands what sin nature we have. How easy it is to lie. How easy is it to just be like, yeah, I put that to death. Like, I don't struggle with that sin anymore. No, it's fine. Right? We can lie to other people. We can't lie to God. God sees our heart. We must actually put it to death and not just claim we have. Paul's not just talking about, hey, don't lie, like another thing you need to put to death, like the Ten Commandments. He's talking specifically about lying about our change. We must have a genuine heart change, not just a verbal acting change. Our fruits will show what our heart is. If our heart has changed, our fruits will change. You can't just say, yeah, I stopped coveting. I stopped doing these things. A lot of the things that Paul has listed, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Sometimes these are public sins. Oftentimes, they're secret sins. They're sins within the heart. It's really hard to lie about something. If I steal a cookie from a cookie jar, my mom saw it. It's really hard to lie about that. But if I have anger in my heart, I don't have to show that. Does that mean it's right? Absolutely not. Anger, malice, slander in my heart is still wrong, even though people don't see it. Paul realizes that it's a lot easier to lie than to take action. We have to take action. As believers, we have to take action. Verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. All right, we're shifting now. Paul has already talked about we need to put to death, put to death, put to death. What do we put to death? We put to death these things. Now it's time to move on. We don't just out with the old. If you have a bad habit, what do? You replace it with a new one. And having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Instead of lying, we ought to put on our new self. We ought to take action. What is this new self? This new self is renewed in knowledge after our creator. The Imago Dei is the fancy term. The image of God. We were created in the image of God. People know the story of Genesis, the fall of man. We were created in the image of God. We were created as perfect beings to worship our Creator, sin came into the world and infected us, so we are no longer perfect beings. That doesn't mean we still aren't created in the image of God, but we all acknowledge that we are depraved. We are sinful. We are not perfect. So there's a call, which this is the whole point of why Paul is writing this. There's a call for us to act accordingly and try to be like our Creator. If we are created in the image of God, we ought to live like Him. Jesus is our perfect example of who we ought to be. This new self is renewed in knowledge. Well, this is the question. What knowledge? This knowledge. We've been created in the image of God, but through sanctification in Christ, we are closer to the image of God. The more we sin, the farther we get away from trying to be like Christ. Sanctification, it's a big word that people use in seminaries, not often used in toddler church, but it's an important one. If we were to go back to that diagram, the already done part, the already done part is what we would call justification. We have been justified. The only way we have been justified is through faith. But the commands we have is what we would call sanctification, the seek and set. Our sanctification, the process in which we will be refined, trying to be more like Christ. What knowledge Paul is referring to is Scripture. It is the only way we can know what our Creator is truly like. We have been justified. I pray that each and every one of you guys have been justified in Christ. And I pray that each and every one of you guys are being sanctified, pursuing Christ to be like Christ. Verse 11 says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. In Christ we are one. Paul shifts here, kind of the direction he's going. Right? If we have been sanctified in Christ, we are no longer separated by sin. We are unified, not just in our salvation, but in our pursuit to be like Christ. That is why we meet on Sunday morning, to remember the gospel and to be in fellowship, to push each other to be more like Christ. In destroying the old self, there is a unification of believers in the new self, in the new creation. West Hill meets as a local church, but there is a unification with all believers when Christ returns. When Christ returns, we will be unified together, all being in Christ as one. We have that to look forward to, but what do we do in the moment? Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones. Put off, put on. This is something, I love this, this language. This is something we teach for those of you who have worked at Skyview or Camp Patmos. You will know that this is something we teach highly of in our counselor training. When we talk about sin and what to do with sin and talking to a camper, right? It is not just a, hey, you need to know Jesus, you check the box, send him on your way. We, Skyview Ranch and Camp Patmos, exist to serve the local church. So oftentimes we have great opportunities to have great conversations with kids and campers. And this is something, this is a principle that we teach, the put off and put on principle. If you get rid of a bad habit, like I said, you must replace it with a good one. If I'm lying and I have a problem with lying, I put off the lying. What do I put on? I have to put on something good. I put on being truthful, honesty. What does Paul say that we have to put on? verse 12. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. We ought to forgive one another. The put on, put off principle, without us being believers, would be a self-help book. We're not here for self-help. We're here for life change. We ought to forgive one another. If you look in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. If you've been in Sunday school ever, you probably have read this verse or sang a song about it. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. We ought to put on these things. Put off the old stuff, put on the new creation. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We ought to put on love. We are not just putting off like a self-help book. What's the difference between a self-help book and the Bible? Everything is bound together by love. We could not be justified. We could not be sanctified if it was not for Christ's love for us, resulting in the sacrifice that he made. And above all these, put on love. We cannot do anything that it says in verse 12 if we do not have love. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, and meekness and patience, forgiving each other. We cannot do that if we do not have a love for one another. The Bible says we love because Christ first loved us, because God first loved us. That's our junior topic. Pastor David has taught on it so many times. But it's so important. And it's not just something for kids to teach in junior church. This is something we ought to remind ourselves every single day of the week. We ought to put on love. We ought to love. That's a choice we have to make every single day. We are sinful human beings still. We have been justified with Christ, praise the Lord, but we will not be perfect until the day the Lord returns. It is a conscious choice that we have to put on love because Christ loved us. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So first we have to put to death. Then we have to put on. Put on all these things. Put on love, most importantly. And because of that, we can let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. You can't invite Christ in if it's full of sin. You can't invite Christ in if you're still holding on to your old self. You have to let go of your old self. You have to let Christ come in. Come up and clean your heart. You have to be willing. You ought to reject your old life. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This part of the sermon's about a month too early. Thanksgiving's not that far away. But be thankful for what Christ has done. We are justified, we are sanctified, and we ought to be thankful for that. Not to just let our lives, okay, I got my transactional ticket. We need to be thankful for how the Lord has changed us. Finally, verse 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing praises and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We have put on our new selves. We have been commanded to love, and now we ought to hold one another accountable. The purpose of the local church. It is not easy to reject your old self and put on a new self. That is why God created community. That is why the local church exists, the essence of our ecclesiology. We need to hold one another accountable and be thankful that the Lord has made us a new creation. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We've put on our new selves. We've put on love. We've put on humility, meekness, all those things. Now what do? We go. We do. We live our lives. How do we do it? We do it in Christ. Because all of these things are done in Christ. All these things are listed, ought to be done in Christ. Because without Christ, we are nothing. So that's what I want to leave you guys with today. If you do not know Christ, I hope you come. Talk to me after the service. Talk to Pastor David. Talk to somebody. We would love to share the greatness of Christ's gospel and the sacrifice he made on the cross. If you've already done that, great. We want to remember that. But it doesn't stop there. We need to continue in the sanctification process until the Lord returns. Put off our old self. Put on our new self. And most importantly, go and do everything in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the new creation that we have to look forward to when you return. Father, we pray that we can experience that in our hearts as we try to be more like you, because we were created in your image. We thank you and we love you and we praise your name because of the gospel and your sacrifice. We love you and we thank you and pray these things in your name. Amen.